It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Monday, Gary, how are you?
Good again. A very, very busy weekend.
The Naval Hospital ship, the USNS Mercy. It's an incredible ship. These two ships are incredible. One on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. We'll be deployed to Los Angeles to add emergency surge medical capacity, and they have a tremendous capacity. We've done a presidential approval for a request for major disaster declaration for the state of New York. Approval of Title 32 National Guard activation for the state of New York. We're providing all of this at no cost to the governor. The request from the state of Washington for a major disaster declaration was approved just a little while ago. Went through the process and we moved it very quickly. The request from the state of California was just received, and we will have it approved very quickly. We'll be working. I told that to Gavin Newsom, and we are we're working on getting that done very quickly. It'll be done maybe tonight. I am announcing action to help New York, California, and Washington ensure that the National Guard can effectively respond to this crisis. The National Guard, these are tremendous people. They're fully on alert. We've signed what we had to sign, and it's been activated. We're dealing also with other states. These states have been hit the hardest.
As it was the president yesterday, here's Mitch McConnell talking about whether a stimulus plan can be passed by tomorrow.
Fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. The American people expect us to act tomorrow. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it'll be because of our colleagues on the other side.
On the other side is what Mitch McConnell was saying. By the way, I've never seen him so animated.
No, it was
seriously.
Watching that play out during the day on Sunday was incredible. And this, but this is who the left is right now. They've been this way for a few years. If they're willing to go as far as they did on Russian collusion, on impeachment for nothing, they're damn sure willing to do this in the face of a coronavirus.
By the way, I'll leave it at this because there's not much more to say, and I'm not surprised by this at all. And we said this in the very beginning. We said, look, Democrats are going to play politics with this because if you have the 50-member senators, not even members of the House, it was the majority of members of the House, but when you had 50 senators, Democratic senators, all the Democratic senators had voted to remove a president from office based on the fact that he wished to go to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. That was Article 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely separate from Article 1. Article 2 was the fact that he was obstructing Congress and should be removed from office because he said, you people want this? We'll go to the courts. They'll decide. And they said, we will overturn an election because of that. If you do that, you do not care. And I've said this many times before. And to, by the way, to zero debate when we explain it this way, if you're willing to do that, you don't care. You don't care about the coronavirus.
Right.
If you're willing to overturn a duly elected president, if you're willing to overturn an election, then it doesn't matter. And if you want our proof, we give you last week from thehill.com the story that they did where they were the ones that reported that a majority whip, James Clyburn, last week, and we brought this to you on Thursday's show, actually said about the whole stimulus legislation.
Yeah.
We need to get the help to the people who need it, and we need to help small business and large business because everybody's going to need it across the board here in an unprecedented over 100 years, unprecedented in American history and international and national tragedy, which is going on. He said, quote, this is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision, end of quote.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if Trump had said that?
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine if Trump had said that?
It would be never ending. That would be the only story. By the way, this is the whole thing, that the media, they can't quit doing what they're doing. They can't quit lying about things, still lying about the whole hoax thing, calling the virus a hoax.
I know. It's amazing.
Well, at least one Washington reporter, she came back on Twitter and said, you know what? I was wrong about that, because the Washington Post actually fact checked it and said that that was wrong. That was false. He didn't call the virus a hoax. He called the reaction to it a hoax.
Right. And they continue to still do that. What kind of people do that? As we've said before, what kind of human beings do that?
You know, I saw, who did I see? Oh, Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw. The president should get with Nancy Pelosi and form a are you kidding me? Are you blind?
Well, you know why McConnell's ticked off? Because McConnell thought that the Democrats, you know, look, the compromise will be, you guys got that right over there on the first one.
Yep.
And we're going to do this, and we're going to get the money in, and we conceded there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you concede here for us. Now the bill has gone from, remember, it was originally going to be $850 billion.
Yep.
Then it went to a trillion.
No.
Then I saw over the weekend 1.5 to 2 trillion, and now I see it's 1.3.
Yeah, I saw 1.4 last I saw.
Right.
So, yeah.
That
means it's going to be 3 trillion.
By the way, that's why we can't even get into a discussion.
Exactly.
But somebody asked you, what are the specifics in it? And I said, I don't even think they know what the specifics are that are in it. So. I know part of what's in it. You know, we know the money. We know the money that's going in. We know that there's a lot more money going into, help for small business. Specifically, what that is, it looks like the majority of it is loans of some sort, loans or help. I don't know whether there's grants in involved in it. We'll see, because we don't know what it's going to be yet.
Right.
What's in the Senate right now might not exist by the time we get to Tuesday, because now the House is coming up with their own plan. But the fact is, anything you want to say bad about the president? Oh, by the way, the whole thing of we really never got into much discussion, because we're trying to hit the specifics of it without being political. But right, we wouldn't be political if we weren't responding to what they were doing. But what was it? What was the other thing from last week? Oh, I forgot what it is. Just popped out of my mind. Something that the president had. And this went around for the longest time, that the president got rid of the department that did the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they get rid of it. He simply changed it to a different department.
Right. Right. Well, and then they said they're making the claim over the weekend where they said something to the effect, they were making the claim that he didn't do it. They switched the protocol at some point. They switched protocol because they didn't trust what was coming out of China.
Right.
And they abandoned that protocol for good reason. And now everybody who's actually paying attention knows exactly why.
Well, I'm telling you one thing. Forget about Cuba. The media sympathy for China,
it's unbelievable,
is just, you know, the communist sympathy from the media for is just mind-boggling. We'll get to some specifics here.
Isn't Bernie winning?
Exactly.
Why isn't Bernie winning?
Well, I think the media might have wanted him. The media did want him.
Maybe a number of them did. That's a good point.
Did you see over the weekend that, you know, Cuomo's going to end up being the nominee? And I'm thinking to myself, how?
Chris Cuomo would be the nominee before Governor Cuomo would.
The media is talking about how great he's doing, and that his name was trending. Mm-hmm. You know, hashtag Cuomo for president, and it's like, well, this thing's almost done for you guys.
Right.
How's Cuomo going to jump? Biden's going to get the nomination, and you're just going to say, you know, oh, okay, he's sick. Cuomo gets in there. Oh, do that.
Right.
By the way, nothing else matters anymore.
Mm.
To show you how everything changes, remember, that's why we said, look, we don't make predictions on who's going to win a presidential election. We just don't do that, because you don't know how things can change.
Yeah.
Nothing matters now except coronavirus.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters except where the country is going, economically speaking. And the decision that will be made in November will be based on people, independents, because they're the ones, I think you're going to have Trump supporters still vote for Trump, and Trump haters not vote for Trump, and Democrats not vote for Trump. But independents will look at it and they'll say, okay, they'll weigh. They'll at that point, they'll weigh and they'll say, was the response by the federal government, was the response, all depending on what the virus does, was it okay to hurt the economy for what coronavirus ended up being?
Hmm.
And it may not be fair to the president,
right?
Because it's a guess. And you and I were just going through, and not we weren't arguing, but it was more of just throwing all the things out there of all the speculation that's being done and all the different graphs that are being done.
Right.
And we're going back and forth going, yeah, but this, but this, but this, but this. Well, the thing is, we still don't know. There's still so much that we don't know. So we will get to that. We'll look at what's going on in some of the states, point by point. I got the Wall Street Journal actually going point by point in some of the states, so we'll give you that information out there, too. Did you see the former CNN reporter that compared Trump, saying, yeah, let's look at the chloroquine or whatever the offshoot of it is now that they're looking at in the other drug.
Hydroxychloroquine, yeah.
Right, he said, well, look, let's let them look at it. You never know. And he compared it to to Hitler and the Nazis, saying, well, the Nazis experimented on people too. Now Trump wants to do it.
Huh.
I mean, this is how absolutely insane they are. By the way, you see all the polls coming out? Saw another poll showing that as the press continues to do what they do, that the president's support keeps going up and up and up for how he's handling coronavirus. Because right now, because you don't know, you overreact because you don't know about the virus.
Right. Yep.
You overcompensate because you just don't know. So we really live in interesting times. We'll cover a whole ton of things today on the show. Plus, get to your calls and comments. If you'd like to get in, we would love to hear from you. And we're saying this here from the county and that we broadcast in that will be stay in place. What do they call it? Settle in.
Yeah.
Is it not settle in place? What do they call it? Shelter in place.
Shelter in place, yeah.
We're shelter in place here in our county. And yes, because we do what we do, we are essential. We are essential workers. So we will be here each and every day throughout this. But I'm sure you did the same thing I did. I went to the gas station and I went to the store once.
Mm-hmm.
And but very early in the morning, you and I really have been social distancing, being in our own little private quarantine almost for the last, this is 11 days now for us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's only, smart to do that. The complete uncertainty here. But what I did see over the weekend is people echoing on social media the exact sentiment that I had here on Friday. And that is, people are going to get tired of this. They want the economy to come back. They don't want this to destroy the economy. And they're going to, at some point, there's going to be a number of people revolting. I don't know what that point is.
Well,
you saw it on social media.
But it all depends the acceleration of the virus, too, to that.
Well, I guess it depends. But if we stay at this current pace, in 2 to 3 weeks, I don't see people just sitting around saying, look, because you look at what's going on with, who was it, Lindsey Graham over the weekend saying, look, the government could fund 70% of American payrolls. Well, I haven't done the Lindsey Graham math. Yeah. But I have family members who their companies are already laying people off. They started Sunday.
I've got a couple of friends who like a lot of Americans are living week to week. Said, I can't go a month without it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
right.
If they give me women with children.
Mm-hmm.
They would get, I think, $1,700. And if they get that twice, they said, that's not enough to get us through.
No.
Not enough. I won't even be able to pay my rent on that for those 2 months. So there are going to be a lot of people that are hurting by this. And so you know, you look at it, and but it came up over the weekend too. Well, maybe we should just quarantine the old people. And it's like, yeah, but if you let everybody else go, they're eventually going to infect the old people.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the
problem.
You saw one demographic in some areas, young people are being affected greatly.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, again, that's the uncertainty.
And it's not actually the young people dying from it. It's them being the carrier.
Right. And then you can be high risk without being old.
Yes, you can.
Underlying conditions.
Yes, you can.
And so, you know, you run into somebody at a grocery store. So then you get to the point of, okay, what do? We keep people who have underlying conditions at home. If you're in the high risk category, you stay at home. Look, the people, even when they have a shelter in place policy, whether it's local or state or whatever it is, their people still have to go stock the shelves at grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
Truck drivers still have to roll. You know, so you're still going to have people out in society.
People are still going to restaurants.
Yes.
In fact, there's a special emphasis for people to, you know, that you see that push.
Right.
Go out and support local, and you go by and you see a lot of long lines at, you know, people waiting at whether they're fast food restaurants or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, waiting in line and picking up to take out.
Yeah. Grubhub was waiving some service fees and over the weekend. So, I mean, you're probably going to see a lot more of that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I just want to address this real quickly because we got a call the last show, and I was thinking about it, and I said, I hope, you know, the guy didn't seem to understand where we were going. I was going through this was California when they had their shelter in place, and I was going through it on the air. And, you know, what you could not do. And you looked at me and you said, well, you basically, what they're saying is you basically can't do what's closed.
Right.
And you know, I chuckle a little bit about it and say, yeah, we're not laughing at the situation.
No.
But the point we were trying to make, and if I didn't make it correctly, I apologize for it. But the fact is the vast majority of people are already doing it voluntarily.
Yeah, right.
You can see it on the streets.
Right.
I've seen it on the streets, especially the last couple of nights. Mm-hmm. Most people are taking it seriously. Are there some young kids out there? Not. Yeah. But is the majority of the public taking it seriously? Yeah. The orders come down, but the orders aren't coming down because the majority of Americans aren't following the restrictions or doing what they believe is right for themselves. There may be a minority of it, but the majority is actually doing what they should be doing. And that was our point.
Right. Right. It seems like too little too late or pointless to enact such policy. Yeah. Here's your forecast.
As the first full week of spring begins, we have rain to start your morning for Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, down through West Virginia, and the Tennessee Valley. It should remain all rain, but just to the north, we have a very cold air mass from Canada, but the temperature right around those vicinities I mentioned won't be close to the freezing mark. As you move up towards Boston, things are dry, but the air is chilly in the upper 20s and lower 30s. The South will be wet again today. Most of Texas will be dry, but from Louisiana over to the Carolinas, you can expect rain, especially along I-20, but mainly north of I-10. The central and northern plains will be dry. In the Pacific Northwest, the higher elevations of the mountains of the Sierras, Cascades, and Rockies will be picking up a little light snow. Onshore rain for Washington, Oregon, and portions of I-5 in California. A Monday look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
We'll be right back.
It's a No Malarkey Morning. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I was reading, I think, was it the Wall Street Journal? I've been reading. Thing is, you read so much. By the way, I don't know about you, but I've been reading so much that when, and everybody's communicating now, yeah, you know, by right. text messaging
yep,
and
yep, yep.
and Facebook messaging, and I finally get sick of it. And all of a sudden I'll call, why are you calling me? You were just texting me for the last hour.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
Right.
I just can't do it. I just
yeah.
can't. And I can't read anymore. It gets to be, you know, too much. And as you and I were talking about, things change so rapidly that what you're thinking 5 hours ago completely changes within
yeah.
with a few hours after that. But I did see that the United States, because of how we're accelerating, it should be doing 75,000 tests a day by this coming weekend.
Let's hope so. I have a friend who was diagnosed positive over the weekend. They call it a presumptive positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that situation and how things accelerate. They're going to have to get the testing kits. You know, the only way to measure the affected rate, whether it's severe cases versus non-severe cases, or ultimately the mortality rate, is to have more test kits available. You know, I was reading a timeline, and it came out, this was Friday night or Saturday, and it came out that had China been honest and had moved forward, had moved on this 3 weeks earlier than they did, then they could have controlled up to 95% of the contagion that happened, ultimately. Now, again, coulda, woulda, shoulda. We didn't trust China from the beginning, and now, for good reason, we see it. We know the data, but you look at the timeline of how things rolled out and where the U.S. and other Western nations started looking at that going, you know what? We don't test. We don't trust their testing. We don't trust their testing at all. And they changed protocol, which is good. By the way, I don't know when Dr. Fauci is sleeping. I really don't. But he really looks like he could use a good night's sleep. And let's hope that the great minds that are on this, like his, get what they need as well. You know, we talk about truck drivers and all the folks in the supply chain that are getting us everything we need to you know, shelter in place or whatever our situation is. But you look at the healthcare professionals, and then on top of that, the scientific minds that are working to find, you know, a cure, a vaccine, all the above.
Or
a method to just right. slow, again, flatten the curve.
Or the companies that are stepping up. You see, I forgot the name. I don't have it here in front of me here, but you just sparked that in my mind. The one pharmaceutical company that's willing to donate millions upon millions of doses
yeah.
of the chloroquine, whatever mm-hmm. whatever the prescription would be.
Right.
You know, the funny thing is the media over the weekend, you see some of the articles written. Mm. Well, if you take too much of it, it will kill you. It's like, well, that's why it's a prescription.
Right.
They would have to figure out the dosage of it, too.
Exactly.
There are a ton of prescriptions that will kill you if you take too much of them.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It was just, you shake your head, and it's the same thing as they're not asking the right questions. Some ask the right questions. I won't say they all don't. But it's this nitpicking to try to get some type of advantage over the president, or nitpick him, or you know, the whole you know, reporter thing from Friday, which is already forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody has moved on. You can't take this in a vacuum.
No.
And that's how the reporters look at it, that every day is in a vacuum and every day is new. How come this president responds to us this way? Because he's been dealing with you for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's as if they don't, you know, they're saying, how dare you? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You know, it's because you say what you will about the president, but the fact of the matter is this. The action right now, the actions and how he's been handling it as of late, are about as good as you're going to get, period. and far better. Far better than most. You know, it's just insane. They ask him stupid questions. You know, how much money have you personally lost? Or blah, 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 blah. You're just a moron. Can we stick to coronavirus, please?
Yeah. But that was when I saw that one. I'm just like, they have no concern. The reporters have no concern.
No.
For the American public by the stupid questions that they ask.
Right. Right. And again,
assuming that if other senators got caught doing it, then this president must be guilty because he's only in it for his own. Think that question would have ever come up to any other Democrat president?
Right.
No.
It's interesting. Dr. Fauci did an interview over the weekend. And he said, you know, the media is just trying to create a rift between me and President Trump. And that's not going to happen. I'm paraphrasing, but I thought that was beautiful. Because this is their attempt. They've been doing it all along. From the beginning, it didn't matter who it was. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Well, what's your opinion on this? She's the mouthpiece for the president. She doesn't have an opinion. You know, at the time. They've been doing this from day one. It doesn't matter who it is in the administration. Hey, will you speak out against Trump, please? Will you say something bad about your boss? And this is the insanity that we live in today. The media doesn't realize what they're doing, but the damage that they're doing to themselves will be very, very harmful and quite permanent. This is going to change how people think. This is going to change how people behave, whether it's our daily lives and how we shop, whether it's how we associate. This will definitely have some change in people's lives going forward, a permanent change in a society, at least for a generation. If it gets to where it is, what they were talking about, down 20%, you see that kind of recession, or the word depression coming back again over the weekend, you see that kind of drop, it's going to change how people associate. It's going to change how people think. And I can't tell you how November 3rd is going to go. But as you mentioned earlier, you can look at the approval ratings. And if the left wants to play these games, great. They do so at their own peril. They don't realize it. But this was, and there was one article over the weekend that said something to the effect of, forget impeachment. This will be the undoing of Donald Trump. Yeah, you guys have been doing the bombshell thing since the beginning. And yeah, this is on a much greater scale. But quit with the bombshells. Let's focus on the matter at hand, because otherwise you're a hack. Take off your microphone, go do something else for a living that's constructive.
You know, I'm thinking where the president talked to the governors and said, look, you go ahead and you do what you need to do.
Right.
And we'll be there to back you. But
right.
You go do it.
Right.
You go do it. We can't do. And that was viewed as a negative, is that the president must be all encompassing and handle every problem that every state has.
Or the other part of that was that the states should go do it on their own, because what they would do is they were editing down that one part of the comment.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you guys go do that, which would isolate that part of the statement and say he's telling them to go it on their own.
Right. And he wasn't.
No. No, we're close.
Who in this type of crisis that is unprecedented in over 100 years in this country, who does that?
PACs. Activists.
Well, political activists who don't care about anything except their own narrative.
Yep.
They don't care about you.
Yep.
They just don't. And it's too bad. But again, I'm not, as you can tell, my voice, I'm not angry by it. I expect it, because they have proven themselves over the last couple of years as this is what we are all about.
Yep.
If you want to get in, we do have lines open. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go through the different states out there and the actions or restrictions that they have put into effect, plus get to your calls and comments and look at some of the data. I was looking at South Korea here and looking at a lot of the different curves, trying to ignore China. And I know it's tough because that's where it first happened. But looking at South Korea and how it has, you know, the number of cases which skyrocketed.
Yes.
If you look at our curve right now,
right,
it's almost straight up.
Mm-hmm.
and theirs also increased drastically. And then you can see is now starting to moderate. Even though they get more cases every day, they're fewer than the day before.
Right.
And so the question is, can the United States do the same thing? Even though the business that is necessary out there of commerce that is necessary, as you said, because it's about the sustenance out there, there is less interaction.
Right.
There's a heck of a lot of less interaction, which hopefully can slow it down. But the big thing is here, it is the unknown. It's still the unknown.
Yeah, right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. By the way, you said Lindsey Graham said that we could finance 70% of America's payrolls.
Yeah.
But just so you know, I did the figures, rough figures, but the average pay in the United States is $876 per week.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Just throwing that out as an average. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number of Americans working, 157 million. Every week, that would be $137 billion.
Every week.
Now, if that's 70%, it'd be roughly $100 billion a week.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be $400 billion in a month, $800 billion for 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And so on and so on and so on.
Now, if you take taxes out of that, all taxes.
Right.
Because you don't say, okay, this would be tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
It's $4.
Yeah, it would only cost $4.
So we might be able to...
There is that uncertainty brings about, you know, again, more questions because you have the policies now that put everybody in place, not essential, you know, retail, like retail. You shut down retail. The government orders retail to shut down. Well, okay, now what? Because this is unprecedented.
Yeah.
This is not a financial crisis, or wasn't. It didn't start as a financial crisis, but it's becoming very quickly a financial crisis. And that's perpetual in nature because we haven't seen anything like this, even during the flu epidemic. In 1918, 1919, you didn't see quite this kind of, because we didn't have that kind of economy. I mean, everything is connected now. And you think about it. We didn't have interstates. We didn't have what we have. I'm grateful, by the way, that we have what we have. The interstates, electronics, things that we can do where we can still conduct some business while we're sheltered in place. But the fact of the matter is you take a 20% hit, and as you extrapolate it out, you know, okay, go beyond that quarter. Let's say the next quarter is what, 10%. The next quarter is down 5%. Recovery could take, they said, what, 18 months could have an impact, an economic mm-hmm. impact of 18 months. It'll take a lot more than 18 months.
Yeah, if it was, again, now they tempered those numbers to 10%.
Yeah.
I saw over the weekend.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Again, you and I look at it, and when it comes to predicting the economy, we've always thought it's been bunk to begin with, because how many times have we sat here and said, here's what they claimed it would be this year, and it's never what it is.
No.
Remember the 1 year where I just said, I'm just going to guess
right.
with the economy, and I was closer than the experts.
You were like one tenth of a point away, right?
Yeah. I think it was like, 2.3% for the year,
and it was like 2.2 or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was just, I said, I'm just going to throw a number out there, and at the end of the year, let's see how close I am, and
right.
I was closer than the economists,
right.
just guessing.
Exactly. Well, because we get these optimistic numbers. There's the scary part. Right now, I don't want those optimistic numbers. I want the current numbers and where we're going. But the problem is that that doesn't give you, I mean, you can only measure a recession, you know, by looking back. And I don't want to look back and see 10%. I don't want to see 20. I don't want to see 5%, you know. And this is the problem, too, is that the pressure by the everyday American is going to be so huge. Within a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to be on it. I think they know this.
I was reading National Review, and they said the government has to give you a number. You know, like, what's the day?
Yeah, right.
Like, they don't know.
No. As far as the virus is concerned, right. They don't know.
And a lot of the speculation or a lot of the pundits out there, I'm like, well, you're just taking a guess. You're saying they need to tell us a date. Well, I understand. Economically speaking, you're right. The more they don't give you a date, the more the economic damage continues. Nobody debates that. But even in the article, it was a National Review article. I'm like, how can they give you a date?
Right. Yeah, there's no way, to do that.
And they even said it could be April 1st, it could be April 15th. I'm like, well, you're saying you don't know what the date is.
Right.
Ridiculous at times.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you so much for being here this morning. President held another press conference yesterday on the coronavirus.
This will help our economy, and you will see our economy skyrocket once this is over. I think it's going to skyrocket. It's a pent-up demand. It's a built-up demand, and I guess you really have to say who knows, but I think it's going to be a tremendous day when we win this war, and we will win the war. We want to win the war with as few, if you look at it, just deaths as possible. I'm announcing action to help New York, California, and Washington ensure that the National Guard can effectively respond to this crisis. The National Guard, these are tremendous people. They're fully on alert. We've signed what we had to sign, and it's been activated. We're dealing also with other states. These states have been hit the hardest. The federal government has deployed hundreds of tons of supplies from our national stockpile to locations with the greatest need in order to assist in those areas. I approve the state of New York's request for a major disaster declaration, something which Governor Cuomo has been asking for and which I agree, and we had it done in very rapid fashion.
We'll hear from Dr. Fauci in just a little bit. He was on Face the Nation yesterday and went through everything. And we feel just, you know, hear it from the medical guy who's running the whole thing. Really,
yeah, exactly.
Think about it.
Yeah, right.
When you look at some of the states out there, some of the restrictions and that are being applied to everyday life in New York, this was effective yesterday. It's last night at 8 p.m. All businesses that aren't deemed essential must shut down their in-office personnel functions. Governor Cuomo's order exempts financial institutions, retailers, pharmacies, hospitals, news media, manufacturing plants, and transportation companies, among others. Non-essential gatherings of any size and for any reason are temporarily banned. In public, people must keep at least 6 feet away from each other. Residents 70 and older and people with compromised immune systems or underlying illnesses must remain indoors unless exercising outdoors. Wear a mask in the company of others and pre-screen visitors by taking their temperature. Casinos, gyms, theaters, shopping malls, amusement parks, and bowling alleys are closed. Barbershops, hair salons, tattoo or piercing salons, nail salons, hair removal services closed Saturday at 8 p.m. Bars and restaurants are limited to delivery and takeout. In California, Governor Newsom has ordered everyone in California to stay home except to get food, care for a relative or friend, obtain health care, or go to an essential job. People working in critical infrastructure sectors may continue to go to their jobs. People outside must keep at least 6 feet of distance from each other. Dine in restaurants, bars, and nightclubs, entertainment venues, gyms, and fitness studios are closed. Gas stations, pharmacies, grocery stores, Convenience stores, banks, laundry services remain open. In Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf declared non-life-sustaining businesses in Pennsylvania to close their physical locations as of last Thursday evening. The restrictions exempt sectors like gas stations, food retailers, transportation companies. It also does not apply to virtual or telework operations. Businesses that don't comply could face enforcement actions starting from last Saturday. Restaurant regulations are the same. In Illinois, the governor commanded residents to stay home, leaving only for essential travel and activities such as health and safety reasons. The Illinois director says non-essential businesses and operations must cease, a requirement with many exceptions. Non-essential businesses may still allow employees to work remotely and process payroll and employee benefits, among other limited activities. Gatherings of more than 10 people are prohibited. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott's directive instructs all Texans to avoid social gathering in groups of more than 10. Starting Saturday morning, Texas residents shall avoid eating or drinking at bars, restaurants, and food courts, or visiting gyms or massage parlors. People may not visit nursing homes for long care facilities unless to provide for critical assistance. Now, in Texas, though, a lot of cities are shutting it all down.
Right.
A lot of counties are.
Yep.
Dallas County, I look at the rules for Dallas County are as strong as Illinois or California or New York now.
Right.
In Florida, for example, the governor has ordered the closure of restaurant dining rooms and bars in the state, as well as concert houses and other entertainment venues. The city of Miami Beach directed all hotels to close down by Monday night. Miami-Dade has shut down beaches, parks, bars, and restaurants. I saw, Pensacola beaches were closing. Happening to have a few friends down there, and so I saw the Facebook site of one of the beaches down there. Nevada, days after closing the casinos, the governor ordered a shutdown of non-essential businesses, including movie theaters, massage parlors, brothels, nightclubs, hair and nail salons, and gyms. The good thing is, I'm sure for many people in Nevada, retail cannabis dispensaries may operate by delivery. New Jersey, the governor ordered all New Jersey residents to stay home, again with a host of exceptions. The same thing, basically for as what's going on in New York and California and many cities and counties in the state of Texas. In Connecticut, the governor ordered non-essential businesses to eliminate their in-person workforces by Monday through 8 p.m. through April 22nd, again exempting a broad range of retail, manufacturing, legal, and financial services. In Louisiana, the governor has ordered a general stay-at-home effective Monday at 5 p.m. Same thing applies as everywhere else except for essential services. Ohio, stay at home. Delaware also issued a shelter-in-place order effective Tuesday at 8 a.m. Now, we actually broadcast from Dallas County.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Tarrant County, which is Fort Worth. They haven't called it yet, even though the recommendations are the same and most people are following them. But here, it's the same thing except for essential services, and that starts, I think, tomorrow at 11:59, or today, later today, at 11:59 p.m.
Right.
And goes through April 3rd for us.
Mm-hmm. And some expect it to be extended. I was talking to one person who I know that works in a local school district, and she was telling me that they expect, I mean, just a consensus, she's not on the school board, and she doesn't make the decision, but they don't, amongst the teachers and staff, they don't expect them to be back at school, you know, here in a couple of weeks. She says the same thing that I say. Yeah, I hope to be wrong, but I don't see this as a 2 or 3 week thing. And the problem is going to be, is that when you have people going right now that can't make, forget about making rent even. I mean, if they came in some locale and said, okay, no evictions. There will be no evictions until further notice. You still need to pay your bills. You still need to keep the lights on. You still need to eat. And this is going to be a big problem in the next few weeks. You know, we just did the math on the whole Lindsey Graham thing, being able to pay. The government could hold, probably tread water on 70% of the payroll, but Let's look at the math. You quickly get to trillions and trillions of dollars if you don't have something approved in the hands of doctors in doctors' offices like right now. One of the concerns comes from the fact that China actually sends us, if not the medication, and over the weekend they were threatening, because of Trump's words, they were threatening to withhold medication from the U.S. Go ahead. Try it. The world will choke you out. Because not only do they send medicine here, but they also own or have control of certain active ingredients in other medications that are manufactured elsewhere. Well, that I'll tell you right now, just like they shouldn't be making our military jets, they shouldn't be making anything that we use for defense. It's about time we're going to have to look at redoing that situation,
or
the pharmaceuticals.
Or parts.
Yes, exactly.
Right. They don't make military jets.
Well, what I'm saying is they shouldn't be.
Oh, okay.
The point I'm making is how ridiculous would it be if they did?
Right.
And so it's ridiculous that they have that much control over the pharmaceutical industry globally, not just here in the U.S. And their behavior is going to have to be dealt with. We can deal with that whenever. But right now, there has to be a solution. I believe Big Pharma in the U.S. is going to step up. You see the major pharmas right now looking at that. You see Elon Musk saying, look, we'll convert our plants to make ventilators. That was given the approval by the president. But what does it take for General Motors?
General Motors
does it take for General Motors to convert to make a ventilator? I don't know. I don't know what that process is. Because you talk about, first of all, it being, I'm assuming, a sterile environment. And that's very different than when you're making, you know, automobiles. So I don't know how quickly you can get a production line of ventilators going. But there definitely will be a shortage of those ventilators. And that's their great concern, is that as the number of cases grow, they're going to need those ventilators to treat the most severe cases in these hospitals. This is the problem they had in Italy. In northern Italy, they started running out of beds and equipment.
Yep.
Well, when you start turning people away that are part of the severe case category, then they're likely not going to make it.
You know, it's a tough time for anybody who is in a hospital right now, because I know my mom's in the hospital right now, and there's no visitation at all now.
No.
She tested negative for coronavirus, but flu and pneumonia, and, you know, it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we wonder, because, you know, she's in her 90s. And the family's always concerned about the care you're getting when the family member can't be there, you know, every day. And the thought goes through your mind, are they looking at her saying she's in her 90s and with coronavirus, we need to get to other people? And this is the Israeli doctor that said that in many hospitals in Italy, if you're over 60, well, sorry. We're trying to help people that have a better chance of surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom doesn't have coronavirus. I want to make that clear. But, you know, she still is very sick. And it's terrible on the families. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Right now, it's terrible on the families when you've got people right now in the hospital. And there's a ton of people in the hospital in this country that don't have coronavirus.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
And it's almost a lockdown where people just.
Yeah, you can't come in.
And it's just it's heartbreaking. It's concern not only for the immediate family members, you know, in my case, thinking about, you know, my dad and my mom.
Right.
You know, when she's in the hospital at that age and doesn't get to see, you know, or doesn't get to see a friendly face. So I'm just giving, again, I don't want any more emphasis placed on the situation that my family is in, because there are so many families going through it. I just want people to know that it is going on out there, and it doesn't matter who you are, it affects you in some way.
Well,
when you have somebody in the hospital right now.
My cousin passed away last week, and her funeral was just a handful of people, because you can't risk. I mean, there's going to be a great number. She was 60, and there was a great number of old people that obviously would have gone, but because of the risk, they can't. And, you know, again, that's playing out all over America, and it's heartbreaking. I have a friend in the hospital in San Antonio. His own wife can't come in to see him in the room now. This is for his recovery, to make sure that he's going to have a full recovery. But it becomes heartbreaking, and it's playing out all over the U.S. right now.
We'll hear from Dr. Fauci coming up here following the bottom of the hour, plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on Roadcheck 2020, the importance of inspections. Organizers promote Roadcheck as the largest targeted enforcement program in the world. It's estimated that on average, around 17 trucks or buses are inspected every minute in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada during the three-day event. More than 1.6 million roadside inspections have been conducted in the 30-year history of the International Road Check. That's a lot of inspections, obviously. But drivers can't lose sight of the fact that roadside inspections can and will occur at any time and anywhere throughout the year, and you must be prepared for them. Your employer will likely remind you of Road Check between now and May, but remember the old Boy Scouts motto when it comes to inspections. Be prepared. You'll never know when you'll be pulled over for one. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Bill in Maryland. Bill, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. Yeah. What I think what we should do is we should shut down everything. Because right now, probably the grocery stores are probably where, you know, the viruses are at and stuff like that, since they're also going to be giving us the stimulus checks for everybody.
What would you spend the stimulus on?
The stimulus will be more or less for you just staying home for 2 or 3 weeks.
And what are you going to eat?
Everyone should probably be stocked up on food right now.
Yeah, that's not the case. It's not how it works. It's not how it works, Bill. It's not how it works. You're not going to shut down retail grocery stores. It's not going to happen.
So that way they can actually clean and really sanitize them.
They do that at night. They do that at night. That's why they're not staying open 24/7.
But, I mean, everyone's going out. I mean, I've seen a hoard of everything.
Yes, because there's a necessary function to many things. Many things are considered necessary functions in a society. You can't shut everything down. So, I mean, look, I know people, if you want to stay at home and you've got 14 days of supply or whatever it's going to take, but here's the question. How do you know it's just 14 days?
Yeah, I told you I'm ready for the refrigerator. I'm ready for a month. And mm-hmm. I went out yesterday, and except really for gas that I can do on the way home,
right?
I'm in.
Yeah,
because you and I, family of five,
they're not, you know, not so much. They go through food every day, right?
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, I guess my point is you and I are trying to do whatever we can because we know we have to be at work.
Right,
we can't get sick.
No.
Right now. We just can't.
Right.
And so, you know, like a lot of people who else don't want to get sick, we're staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, plus, except going to the grocery store, there's really not much to do. There's nowhere to go anyway.
Yeah, right. You know, again, just be cautious about it. But shutting down grocery stores?
That's not going to happen.
By the way, the panic that would cause would be unbelievable. It would be unbelievable. You tell people that you want to see looting. You'd have widespread looting in every small town, medium-sized town, and large city, and it would be nonstop. Yeah, let's be sensible about this. Get a grip. People are going to need things. They're going to need health care. They're going to need sustenance. They're going to need shelter. Full stop. Otherwise, you know, this idea that we should just shut the entire planet down for a few weeks. By the way, I saw that over the weekend on social media.
And the other thing is where he said stimulus will take care of everything. No, it won't.
No, it will not.
No, it won't.
No, it's not going to.
Because there's
you can't say that we should shut everything down and then, you know, everybody will be getting their stimulus check. For what? They're going to need groceries over, again, even if they came out and every county judge ordered no evictions, apartments or dwellings or mortgage, if anybody was being foreclosed upon, even then you would still need money for sustenance and medicine.
Powerful people, corrupt and arrogant, who think they can get away with anything. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. One thing you see is, and I don't care whether it's on social media or social media from just the normal Joe and Jane out there, or whether it's somebody in the media or doctors out there, everybody is making their prognostications as to what they think is going to happen here. And what we have tried to do as much as possible is go, you know, right to the person who's in charge of it, you know, and deal with the medical people that are giving out the, you know, the official information.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the lead person on that is Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert for the National Institutes of Health. And he was on Face the Nation yesterday. So let's hear what he has to say as to where we stand currently.
You just heard that report from our Liz Palmer about Italy. Are we on the same trajectory as Italy?
No, not necessarily at all. I mean, obviously, things are unpredictable. You can't make any definitive statement. But if you look at the dynamics of the outbreak in Italy, we don't know why they are suffering so terribly, but there's a possibility, and many of us believe, that early on they did not shut out as well the input of infections that originated in China and came to different parts of the world. One of the things that we did very early and very aggressively, the president, you know, was put the travel restriction coming from China to the United States, and most recently from Europe to the United States, because Europe is really the new China. Again, I don't know why this is happening there to such an extent, but it is conceivable that once you get so many of these spreads out, they spread exponentially, and you can never keep up with this tsunami. And I think that's what, unfortunately, our colleagues and our dear friends in Italy are facing. They are very competent. It isn't that they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think they have a situation in which they have been so overwhelmed from the beginning that they can't play catch up. And in direct answer to your question, Margaret, it is maybe, and I hope and I think it will be the case, that we will not be that way, because we have, from the beginning, been able to put a bit of a clamp up. We're going to get hit. There's no doubt about it. We see it in New York. New York is terribly suffering. But the kinds of mitigation issues that are going on right now, the things that we're seeing in this country, this physical separation, at the same time as we're preventing an influx of cases coming in, I think that's going to go a long way to preventing us from becoming an Italy.
This was an animal virus that jumped to a human. Then
Correct.
It started spreading human to human. Is the virus mutating? Is it changing?
Well, this is an RNA virus, Margaret, and it always will mutate. The real question is, so that people don't get confused, viruses can mutate with no substantial impact on its function. So I have no doubt it's mutating as all RNA viruses mutate. We have not seen thus far any type of change in the way it's acting. But we are keeping a very close eye on it, because it is conceivable that it could mutate and change some of the ways that it performs. But we have not seen that yet. But we're not going to just not pay attention to it. We're going to follow it closely.
That's very important to highlight there. You know, one of the things that stood out this week in some of the briefings we heard from the White House was this mention, particularly from your colleague, Ambassador Birx, that young people in Europe seem to be affected in a way that was unexpected. And we heard from the CDC this week, 20% of the hospitalizations in this country were between the ages of 20 and 44.
You're absolutely,
why are young people getting affected this way when it wasn't expected?
You're absolutely correct, and you just nailed a very important critical issue that we're looking very closely at. You know, it looks like there's a big difference between that demography, as we call it, from China and what we're seeing in Europe. Now, we have to look at the young people who are getting seriously ill from the European cohort and make sure it isn't just driven by the fact that they have underlying conditions, because we know that underlying conditions, all bets are off. No matter how young you are, if you have an underlying serious medical condition, you're going to potentially get into trouble. But if they don't have underlying conditions, that will be something we have to really examine as to why we're seeing it here, but we didn't see it in China. So we're going to look at that very closely.
You mentioned in particular New York and what may be coming there. The president has tweeted this morning that Ford, GM, and Tesla have been given the go-ahead to make ventilators. There's been this back and forth over whether the president actually has ordered companies or not to produce needed medical equipment. What have these companies agreed to do, and when will medical professionals have what they need?
Well, I mean, as yesterday in the press conference that I'm sure you heard, what the president was saying is that these companies are coming forth on their own. And I think that's an extraordinary spirit of the American spirit of not needing to be coaxed. They're stepping forward. They're making not only masks, but PPEs and now ventilators. So what we're going to be seeing, and we're seeing it already, in the beginning, obviously, there was an issue with testing. The testing now, a large number of tests are available now out there because the private companies have gotten involved.
But like the mayor of New York has said this week that he was going to run out of medical equipment in a matter of 2 weeks.
That's true.
So when will medical... It is true he will run out? Will the federal government get him what he needs?
True, to both of them. Let me explain. We were at the task force meeting yesterday, and it was very clear that the issue in New York was right on the front burner. And the situation is now that the resources that are being marshaled are going to be clearly directed to those hot spots that need it most. And clearly that's California, Washington State, and obviously New York is the most hard hit. So not only is New York trying to get resources themselves, but we're going to be pouring it in from the federal government. So it'll be a combination of local and federal. But it's very, very clear that they are a very high priority.
You are the leading infectious disease expert in the U.S. government. You said this week that you differed from the president in his assessment that a combination of two drugs, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin combined, could have the outcome that he described to the public they possibly could. Who is the president listening to? And do you see a concern here that those drugs could become, you know, basically oversubscribed, and there could be a shortage that could impact people who have persistent medical issues like lupus and need those?
Okay, so Margaret, there's an issue here of where we're coming from. The president has heard, as we all have heard, what I call anecdotal reports that certain drugs work. So what he was trying to do in the Express was the hope that if they might work, let's try and push their usage. I, on the other side, have said, I'm not disagreeing with the fact anecdotally they might work, but my job is to prove definitively from a scientific standpoint that they do work. So I was taking a purely medical scientific standpoint, and the president was trying to bring hope to the people. Mm-hmm. I think there's this issue of trying to separate the two of us. There isn't fundamentally a difference there. He's coming from it from a hope layperson standpoint.
Okay.
I'm coming from it from a scientific standpoint.
Yeah, so you hear there in the beginning what he talked about with Italy being overwhelmed, which is what they believe. In northern Italy, they didn't have enough beds. They didn't have enough ventilators. You know, they were just simply overwhelmed. And doctors had to make the decision to turn people away. You don't have the beds. You don't have the equipment. You can't treat everybody. And this is why you see the push right now for You see many locales, in fact, Dallas County, where we're broadcasting from. No elective surgery, no dental. That's elective. Mm-hmm. If it's emergency dental, you can treat that. But that's to save on the equipment, the masks that are necessary. And then ultimately, what you do about the ventilator shortage is now you've got companies that are willing to go out and manufacture them. And of course, the trucking industry will be delivering those to those medical centers that need them. But that's, you know, that's kind of what they went through. It was just, as he mentioned, they were just the only thing you could say is other than, you know, anything else, the one thing you can say is they were overwhelmed. And the question is, and you look at New York as a prime example. He talked about that, too, because New York is just having a problem, a massive problem. You can't have tens of millions of people living on top of each other and be able to contain this this contagious disease to the extent that you could in a North Dakota. It's a simple math. It's population. Yeah. It's math.
And when you heard a lot of the other things that he was talking about, you know, when he was talking about young people, you know, really not sure whether we'll become Italy. Doesn't, you know, thinks we've taken precautions earlier than Italy, but not really sure.
Mm-hmm. People could be as simple as you saw the spring breakers. Yeah, we don't care if we get it, we get it. I mean, could that be part of the mindset of that generation, whether they were at spring break or not?
Not only that, but the question has come up because of so many young people vaping and smoking, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in parts of Europe, it is greater. Don't right. know whether that's the case in Italy, but these right. are just some of the things that are brought up, mm-hmm. that if you're a smoker or a vapor, which we've seen across society, mm-hmm. it has just become so much greater that in essence can be just like having an underlying condition. Whether that's a case or not, you don't know. And that's what we have tried to express as everybody on social media on both sides of the issue. It's being overplayed or underplayed. Mm-hmm. Everybody's guessing. They don't know.
Right. No. It is. And it's, I think it's, again, you and how do you define certain high risk categories? There's behavior, like you just mentioned, with vaping. There's underlying conditions. You know, you can't walk around society and just look at somebody and tell necessarily that they have an underlying condition. I mean, age-wise, you can pretty much guess. But other than that, you can't tell if somebody has hypertension, if someone has lung disease, you know, anything that entails. So it is, again, it's a great unknown. I think and I applaud Dr. Fauci for, you know, that gotcha question there at the end. You know, right. Where's the president getting his information from? That's a stupid question. Dr. Fauci's standing right beside him every time he's on stage. And obviously he has great communication with Dr. Fauci. And what the president was trying to convey was that hopeful message. Yeah, hey, look, we're hearing about, and that's kind of the way he phrased it. Hey, we hear that this could work and this could work. And if it does, we hope to be able to roll it out soon.
He didn't.
That's the only thing he said.
He didn't say it works.
No.
He said, I've heard about it.
He didn't make a definitive statement.
No, he did not. And the media portrays as if he's making a definitive statement. I'm telling you.
And I'm glad Dr. Fauci stood up there because it's one of the most important things that he has said or been able to do, at least this past weekend. And that is to, you know, put the media back in their place and show them how ridiculous they're being. And he was saying, fundamentally, we were saying the same thing. We all hope that if that is true, we can roll it out. But he's coming from a scientific standpoint, and the president's coming from a layman's standpoint.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Raphael in Tampa, Florida. Raphael, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, I'm glad to be on. Just real quick, I'm a huge fan of you guys. And the reason is because when things like this happen and people freak out, you're very good at taking a step back, pumping the brakes and saying, wait a second, what's really going on right now? So I don't buy this whole argument that there's a great unknown and therefore we have to completely shut down the Western world, cause $1 trillion of economic damage. And make my point clear here, the 2009 economic crash, there are studies by the, you can look this up yourself, I'm not making this up. There's a Lancet study that found that 500,000 people had premature cancer deaths because of the 2009 economic disaster. There were 10,000 suicides associated with it and everything else. In this case also, they're also loosening law enforcement, for instance. They're upping everybody's cortisol levels. Everyone's going to have panic attacks, heart attacks, everything else associated with this. So if they don't get this right, they're going to lead to a heck of a lot more deaths than something right now that numerous studies that are completely being ignored. And I wish you guys would.
Well, I would tell you right now, look, suicides, yeah, I don't know whenever there's stressful times, you know, suicides can go up. I would completely, totally off of what you said, discount the fact of the tens of thousands of cancer deaths due to 2008, 2009.
Right, premature cancer death.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
I would like to see what that study was.
Well,
we're
talking apples and oranges.
Right.
You know, there is going to be, because this will be, financially, this could be much greater than what we saw in 2009, and there's no way to measure what is going to happen to people. Certainly people are concerned. Certainly people go into a depression, and I don't want to discount that. But let's be careful about trying to quantify it.
By the way, I do believe that social media, you know, being able to communicate with people has been wonderful.
Yeah,
a lot of
sure.
people actually get to communicate
yeah,
with
it. Right.
It's really been a great service.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning.
Mission assignment of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to provide support to build.
lost that for a second there. Here we go. This is the president yesterday.
Mission assignment of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to provide support to build out alternate care sites. They're doing various alternate care sites, which have now been designated by New York. Four large federal medical stations of 1,000 beds. These are very complex places, actually, with great equipment. Yesterday, I signed vital legislation to ensure that the GI Bill will cover distance learning during this emergency. I also spoke with many of our veteran service organizations, or the VSOs, to describe our unprecedented action. In February, the Department of Veterans Affairs established 19 emergency operation centers throughout the country. For those worried and afraid, please know, as long as I am your president, you can feel confident that you have a leader who will always fight for you, and I will not stop until we win. This will be a great victory.
Here is New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
I do want to say, you know, being straightforward and respectful, I appreciate that the president and the vice president had a focused, constructive conversation with me directly to talk about what's going on, particularly in our public hospitals, which are literally 10 days away from running out of really basic supplies, particularly and equipment like ventilators.
There you go.
That's because right now all eyes are on New York. I mean, it's they've had the greatest rise in numbers because of the population and because of the fact that, again, you have tens of millions of people that live so closely together.
I was talking about that my mom's being hospitalized right now, not for coronavirus, but still the flu and pneumonia and a few other things. And, you know, it's pretty serious.
Right.
But I was going to go up this past weekend and everyone's like, why?
You wouldn't be able to see her.
You can't see her.
Right.
You can't, you know, you can't go in. And my dad's sick, right? You know, he's got the flu.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't want to bring anything in. And as my sister told me, she said, you don't know if you're going to get back.
Right.
Yeah, so, right. You know, that's the next thing.
To be able to get back from New York back to Texas.
Right. That's the next thing going around is, you know, not only are flights being, you know, flights being canceled and all that. Now, odds are I could get back. But the other thing that they're talking about is, are they just a step away from closing airports for a couple of weeks up there?
Right.
We know that because of personnel changes, some of the New York airports, what was it, on Friday or Thursday, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday or Friday, I forgot which day it was, you know, had to have, you know, runway delays.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the hot spot right now.
Right.
You know, looking at, I was looking at South Korea and some of the articles written on South Korea, and you can see that their curve is starting to flatten out a little bit. The United States isn't. I mean, it's just... Right. It's almost peak right now, and when you look at it, and it seems like we're about 2 weeks into it, but really about 1 week into the skyrocketing of that, you know, of that line, you know, of the line going straight up.
Right.
And so most believe that if we can mirror what South Korea has done, it will be another 2 weeks. And then they'll see at least... It's the cases are still going up in South Korea, but there are fewer cases. And so that's what they hope. Another thing is I just, you know, when we talk about the hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
That's being, we were referring to it as chloroquine on previous shows.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article written here, Wall Street Journal, Jeff Kohler and Daniel Hinthorn. Now, just to let you know who they are, Dr. Kohler is a practicing physician and chairman of the National Advisory Commission on Rural Health. He served as governor of Kansas from 2018 to 2019. Dr. Hinthorn is director of the Division of Infectious Disease at the University of Kansas Medical Center. So you're talking about practicing doctors.
Yeah.
All right. And pretty high up and dealing. When you look at Dr. Hinthorn, director of the Division of Infectious Disease at the University of Kansas Medical Center. And they're talking about, and let me just read a couple of paragraphs. A flash of potential good news from the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. A treatment is showing promise. Doctors in France, South Korea, and U.S. are using an anti-malaria drug known as hydroxychloroquine with success. We are physicians treating patients with COVID-19, and the therapy appears to be making a difference. It isn't a silver bullet, but if deployed quickly and strategically, the drug could potentially help bend the pandemic's hockey stick curve. Hydroxychloroquine is a common generic drug used to treat lupus, arthritis, and malaria. The medication is relatively safe, with the main side effect being stomach irritation, although it can cause echocardiogram and vision changes. In 2015, a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study showed that using chloroquine could block a virus from penetrating a cell if administered before exposure. If tissue had already been infected, the drug inhibited the virus. On March 9th, a team of researchers in China published results showing that hydroxychloroquine was effective against a 2019 coronavirus in a test tube. The authors suggested a 5-day, 12-pill treatment for COVID-19, 200 milligram tablets twice a day on the first day, followed by one tablet twice a day for 4 more days. A more recent French study used the drug in combination with the other drug, I don't know how to pronounce it, the azithromycin. Azithromycin.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Z-Pack for short.
Oh, the Z-Pack. Okay, the Z.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Most Americans know it as a Z-Pack, prescribed for upper respiratory infections. A Z-Pack alone doesn't appear to help fight COVID-19, and the findings of the combination of the treatment are preliminary. But researchers in France treated a small number of patients with both, and 100% of them were cured by day six of the treatment. Compare that with the 57.1% patients treated with hydroxychloroquine alone and 12.5% of patients who received neither. What's more, the patients cleared the virus in 3 to 6 days rather than the 20 days observed in China. That reduces the time a patient can spread the virus to others. One lesson that should inform the U.S. approach: use this treatment cocktail early and don't wait until a patient is on a ventilator in an intensive care unit. A couple of careful studies of the two drugs are in process, but the results may take weeks or longer. Infectious disease experts are already using chloroquine clinically with some success. With our colleague, Dr. Joseph Brewer in Kansas City, we are using the hydroxychloroquine in two ways to treat patients to protect healthcare workers from infection. We had been using the protocol outlined in the research from China, but we've switched to the combination prescribed in the French study. Our patients appear to be showing fewer symptoms. Our experience suggests that hydroxychloroquine with or without the Z-Pack should be a first-line treatment. Unfortunately, there's already a shortage of hydroxychloroquine. The federal government should immediately contract with generic manufacturers to ramp up production. Any stockpile should be released. We know that Novartis, the pharmaceutical company, has already said if it gets approved, they've got millions ready to donate immediately. They say that we have decades of experience in treating infectious diseases and dealing with epidemics, and we believe in safety and efficacy. We don't want to peddle false hope. We have seen promising drugs turn out to be duds. But the public expects an answer, and we don't have the luxury of time. We have a drug with an excellent safety profile, but limited clinical outcomes and no better alternatives until long after this disaster peaks. We can use this treatment to help save lives and prevent others from becoming infected, or we can wait several weeks and risk discovering that we didn't do everything we could to end this pandemic as quickly as possible. So, I mean, now you've got two American doctors who have used it in clinical studies, you know, that deal with infectious diseases that say, yeah, we believe it works.
Yeah. And again, this is a great hope. If this is, you know, the combo, then the FDA should move as quickly as possible. I don't know what that process is like. We're in uncharted waters right now. I don't know what kind of timeline you're looking at. But even if they got it out within the next few months, you know, you'd still be looking at a great number of people infected based on the rate of where we are now, depending on, again, how useful or effective the isolation policy is.
Look, the Z-Packs are available. The hydroxychloroquine is there ready to be distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this is what we're being told.
Right,
that the pharmaceutical companies are willing to give out what they have and still protect the patients that still need it.
Sure,
that they would ramp up production tremendously.
Right,
here's my question: can you do a much bigger clinical sample? Can you do a clinical sample of 1,000 people?
Right,
and do it in a period of, because if this thing only takes 6 days,
mm-hmm.
can you do that? And at it's not a statement, it's a question.
Right, sure.
If you can do that, what do you need to do in order to get this thing out massively? If they could do a much bigger clinical trial and know that these patients are cured, because you know whether they have coronavirus or not.
Right.
If you took all the resources and said, let's have a much bigger clinical trial, let's get this done. Is that what's going on now? I don't know. It might be going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you'd want to do, correct?
Right, sure. And also find out, you know, if it's effective 6 days into the virus. If you're symptomatic 6 days in, just like with the flu, when Tamiflu works is when you can get it to the patient within, I think it's 48 hours of them being symptomatic, you know, when that happens. So is there a different outcome for someone who has had it longer or who tests positive but isn't symptomatic yet? You know, I guess those would be, you would have to do a trial study based on probably the entire spectrum. I'm guessing. Again, questions here. And that gets back to the side effects and everything else to make sure that the treatment isn't harsher than the disease itself for the overwhelming majority of people that get it and won't have it in a severe way. And that's what it comes down to.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, yeah, you were just talking about with the chloroquine and the Z-Pak that because we were talking about, all right, the Z-Paks. It's like, well, you just put the pharmaceutical companies right now, they're producing it, and you put them on three shifts.
Right.
Yep. You know, if it worked, but as you were saying, you could take the clinical trial and do 1,000 each.
At each level of the illness, right,
to see if it works. And you could do that in the next 10 days, which makes me wonder, since the president said get on it and they're on it, is that what they're doing right now, trying to get this whole thing done?
Well, look, there are two huge threats right here. And that's the virus itself, of course, but it's also the economy. And the damage that will be done by the economy that will be long term. I don't know of a better suited president or administration in terms of the economy to understand fully the impact on business, given his experience. And then beyond that, I think the president has done well in that he is letting Dr. Fauci lead. He's listening to people. This is what leadership is all about. So if they are concerned, and there's no doubt that they are, about the impact on the economy, and of course the virus most of all, then you move quickly on this, and pharmaceuticals could be pumping this thing out, these items, these medicines out into pharmacies very, very quickly. Let's hope, let's pray that is the case. It looks to be very promising, and I'll phrase it like the president phrased it as a layman. If it is, and those are the indications we're getting from the scientific community, from the medical community, then let's not waste one second. Let's be prepared. Let's let Elon Musk and GM make more ventilators. There's never a problem with having too many.
You do everything,
but you do it all.
You do it all.
You have all the major pharmaceuticals. Heck, you could probably have one or two of them look at it. I'm guessing they'll all want to be a part of this game so that you get this to the market as soon as possible. Like you said, it's like a war. All hands on deck. We're all in this together. And I think the private sector has already stepped up in a big way. There are some that can't afford to do that, and that's quite unfortunate. But there are large companies. And even a few small companies, you see some of these landlords of these businesses saying,
yes.
Don't
mm-hmm.
pay us, pay your employees this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how far that goes with any given business and if that's enough to, you know, stave off a layoff in that particular business. But you can bet that it helps. And at least the gesture is there, and it shows that as a society, we do come together, unless you're on Capitol Hill or in the media.
Yeah. Because I have, you know, again, it's all anecdotal, but even the news reports, from what I can see, you know, they you know, we focus on the people that aren't doing the right thing.
Right.
But when you really, really think about it, and I was in the store today, and when I was talking to a few of the people in masks mm-hmm. and asking them, how is it? They said, well, we've got some people trying to, to hoard, mm-hmm. especially sanitizer, and it's one a day,
right?
You know, one a day per person, not right. one every trip. Mm-hmm. And he said, call another woman this far. I said, well, is the majority doing? She goes, the majority is fine. The yeah, majority right. have no problem right. just taking care of it. But they're pretty confident that if everybody does it, from what I've talked to them, she was telling me when I've talked to them, that as long as everybody follows the rules, there's going to be enough for everybody.
That's the whole point of it.
And there's enough. We didn't get everything we wanted today, but there's enough, and we know it's going to be restocked. And
right.
I don't think the majority of America is panicking at all.
Here's your forecast.
As the first full week of spring begins, we have rain to start your morning for Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, down through West Virginia and the Tennessee Valley. It should remain all rain, but just to the north, we have a very cold air mass from Canada, but the temperature right around those vicinities I mentioned won't be close to the freezing mark. As you move up towards Boston, things are dry, but the air is chilly in the upper 20s and lower 30s. The South will be wet again today. Most of Texas will be dry. But from Louisiana over to the Carolinas, you can expect rain, especially along I-20, but mainly north of I-10. The central and northern plains will be dry. In the Pacific Northwest, the higher elevations of the mountains of the Sierras, Cascades, and Rockies will be picking up a little light snow. Onshore rain for Washington, Oregon, and portions of I-5 in California. A Monday look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Living in Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
86690 Red Eye. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Okay, apparently having a problem with that audio cut. I was trying to play it and we didn't hear it anywhere. Let me try it again. We'll try it again. Here we go.
I am your president. You can feel confident that you have a leader who will always fight for you. And I will not stop until we win. This will be a great victory. I fully understand why you should be there. I think it may be a constitutional reason why you should, but we could be in a position where I would certainly be in favor of it, where they could vote from a certain outside location.
And he's talking about the fact that Senator Rand Paul tested positive for the coronavirus, and you know that also Romney is staying home.
He's quarantined, yeah.
So that's two votes they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, that's a concern right now because the Democrats doing what they can not to pass the Republican bill. Look, there's going to be more than three bills. There was more than one bill. There was two bills and there became three bills.
Yeah.
The Democrats right. want to add something later on. Fine.
Right.
But the fact is this bill, which was supposed to be $850 billion to a trillion, then went to 1.3 trillion. You saw 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
I saw between 1.5 and 2 trillion. And now when I was looking at CNN a little while ago, one of the reporters saying it was $2 trillion. I don't know. Again, we can't tell you specifically what's going to be in the final bill because it still would have to be passed by the House. This is just still going to the Senate. But as we brought you last week, when James Clyburn said, Jim Clyburn out of South Carolina, the Democrat, the majority whip of the Democrats, said this is an opportunity for us to see our vision, not help those that are being hurt by coronavirus, that was reported by thehill.com, but to see our vision, which is our liberal vision.
Right.
We're not surprised by any of this. We said early on, look, the Democrats will have no problem playing politics with coronavirus. None, zero.
No.
And why? Because of Russia collusion and the bogus impeachment. If they're willing to take down a legit president, if they're willing to overturn a legitimate presidential election, they don't care about doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they might feel forced to do something is because they believe it will seriously harm them in the election.
Well, and this is, you know, this is the game that that they're willing to play all day long, but the American public, they're getting pretty fed up with it. Day by day, they're getting more and more impatient.
In the latest polling that was done, the Morning Consult poll, which was out on Saturday, shows a surprising jump. There's some PJ Media analysts analyzing the latest polling. Shows a surprising jump in support for Trump's handling of the crisis, given the overwhelming negative coverage by the news media, complete with blatantly false stories. The fact that Trump's approval in handling the pandemic is in positive territory is remarkable. This is Saturday morning. The Morning Consult poll shows 53% of voters approve of Trump's crisis management, while only 39% disapprove. Significantly, there was a sizable increase in support from Democrats and independents. The uptick was largely driven by 8-point bumps in approval among Democrats and independents. While it actually rose, from 18% to 26% to Democrats and independents, from 43% to 51%, GOP voters 83% to 87%. We may look at the this week as a turning point. Trump has been focused on the government's response to the crisis and not so much on the opposition. We said last week, over the last couple of days, and so it's been over a full week now, he has been fully in, to us, he's been fully engaged. Yeah, he got angry Friday at a reporter, but I think if you were actually watching it, and by the way, did you see how many media took that out of context?
Oh, yeah.
And didn't have the
right
initial, the question before?
Exactly.
That led up to it. Look, nothing here is being done in a vacuum. The reporters want to make you believe that we come into this and all we want to do is know what's going on, and we have totally, totally legit motivations that are completely innocent and sweet, and all we wish to do is find out what's going on, and this president is mean. As if nothing else, as if this is happening in a vacuum, in a bubble, and of course, it is not. And so, when you see the, and there's like been three or four polls done, which shows that the president's handling of it keeps going up as this continues to go on. And I'm not surprised by it, because after a couple of days, look, we have to be on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets to be bizarre, and it gets to be too much if you don't have to do it.
Oh, sure. It's an overload.
And so I think most people are simply watching the updates that happen.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think they're looking to find out what is going to happen, what's going to come their way. It's kind of a strange turn of events here, but this is what happens when you're in this fight or flight mode. While in the past, they didn't really pay attention to what's going on Capitol Hill. Whatever happens, whatever happens. They would pay attention to things like celebrities. Now, the celebrities don't make sense at all. Half of them are losing their minds about this. It's gotten really crazy.
I didn't even look at it. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because you tweeted it.
Mm-hmm. That's her.
What the hell was she doing?
I don't know.
Madonna
in a bathtub? I don't get it.
Was that a robot or something?
I don't know.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, that was her.
What? No, but I saw something like some. What was the?
I don't know what that was.
It was almost as if she was being handed something by
See,
no. I didn't want to look at it, and I thought maybe you did my homework for me on that one.
Yeah, no,
because you tweeted it.
No, all I needed to see is her in a bathtub looking bat soup crazy.
By the way, I like how you added soup to it.
Yeah.
how it became bat soup.
Because it's relevant to the coronavirus.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but I know. It's also, I didn't want to use the other word.
Well, no, I just thought it was really, it was great to use that term.
But this is what you see, with the exception of Neil Diamond. I tweeted that too. That's how celebrities, I mean, he did a parody of his own song, Sweet Caroline. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It was great. It was funny. It was, I think, heartfelt and warm and funny at the same time. I'm not sure why Arnold Schwarzenegger has a miniature pony and a miniature donkey living in his house. So don't ask me, listen to me, is everyone calm down now? Is it not going to get the coronavirus? It's just having you living with the donkey and just living with the miniature horse and you can feed them right there off your plate. You know, you give them that and just everyone stay inside and stay safe as I'm actually kissing the donkey and just telling you to wash your hands.
I'd rather look at the Madonna tweet.
Well, it was just the whole thing was just weird. And by the way, all these celebrities badly singing Imagine. Are you kidding me? People who are worth tens and tens of millions of dollars telling you, imagine there were no things. What do you mean? You guys are surrounded by things. You guys have fleets of cars private jets. Shut and up.
They're telling you to get used to nothing.
Exactly.
Get used to nothing.
Well, no, it reminds me of Obama. When Obama told all the nations of Africa, hey, don't get your hopes up about getting cars and air conditioning. Because the oceans will boil over as he gets on an airplane, a massive airplane that's designed for one person.
That was the best ever. Telling the citizens of Africa, don't expect to have what we have.
Right.
We should have less, but you can't expect to have cars and air conditioning in Africa.
Right. You know, I mean, there were a couple of comedians saying, I forget what comedian it was.
And they say Trump says dumb things.
I know. A couple of comedians were like, okay, hey, let's do a roast. Who wants to be roasted? Asking other famous people on social media, hey, would you like to be roasted? And we'll do it here on Twitter, and it'll be funny. You know, that kind of thing is okay, I'm great with. You know, that's great. But I don't know, this bubble that they seem to live in, the other celebrities that were singing, I don't know what the hell's wrong with Madonna. I really don't. I don't.
Midlife crisis?
That was like 20 years ago. What are you talking about? Midlife. What midlife?
Oh, that's right. I forgot her name. Let's show respect and give her proper title, Grandma Gaga.
Yes, that's right. So that's the only thing I forgot to put in the tweet.
Grandma Gaga. That's right. Oh, that's right.
The only reason I was retweeting it was because at first I thought, oh no, I can mention hashtag Grandma Gaga.
Yeah.
And I forgot to do that. But anyway, it's just the insanity, because here's the deal. Is it the end of the world? No. Is it a very serious situation? Well, because there are so many unknowns, it's to be taken seriously. Are we going to get through it? The answer is yes.
Yes.
And we already have great promise. Think about this. We already have great promise from Western societies in a matter of months. And then when all this is over, we can turn around and give China their fair share of the blame, which, by the way, they deserve. And who knows what's going to happen, but I'll tell you right now, sanctions need to be put on China, and there needs to be great pressure on this, because they can't run this game forever.
Well, I do think that after this, the world has much more evidence of the harm that China, because of the communist government, and remember, a communist government,
right.
The harm that they can project on to the rest of the world. And I do think that they'll be marginalized, and not only by governments, I think by industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this, that, and we are not for terrorists, but understanding what was going on in China, if you've listened to this show, we said, you got to be able to fight back somehow. This is way beyond this.
Mm-hmm.
This is way beyond terrorists, which means that even with the tariffs, so companies are moving out and saying, you know something? We're going to stay out. We're not going back.
Right.
because we can go to an India.
Yep.
There are a lot of other countries over there that are willing to take us where we can get cheaper workforces that are, you know, India, for example. And I do wonder, you and I have asked this question in the White House. I don't believe anybody's ever asked the White House this question because they're so intent of just getting into animosity arguments with the president. But this would be the question. Are you trying to really promote India as the option to China?
You know,
with trade? And I talked about that when he was over there.
Right.
And don't be surprised, because what was he promoting them on? The world's biggest democracy.
Yep.
And we need to have the cooperation with you guys and you guys and you guys and you guys. And I do think that there will be a much bigger effort, not just because of the support of the people for their governments to have restrictions on China, but for the private sector alone saying, is this really where we want to be?
Right.
Is this really where we want to be? Or is it time, because all supply chains now, because of the tariffs and now because of the coronavirus, everything has been upended.
Yeah, it has been.
And so if you're going to look at your next 10, 15, 20-year plan as a major industry and where you're going to do, you know, worldwide. By the way, globalism in the form of free trade doesn't end because of this. A lot of people have said, and we've even had, you know, response, well, this has to stop free trade. It's not going to stop trade.
No, it should, to a large extent, eventually lead to China being out of control. Get the control, I guess, out of their hands on certain things, especially pharmaceuticals, because we can't afford to ever play this game again. But in terms of trade itself, look, they rely on Western societies. They rely on Western societies. And whatever makes sense. But again, India, I think it's a good point. Is he trying to, the president, is the administration trying to set them up to take China's place?
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So do you think, because the pressure is going to be on today, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think the circuit breakers kicked in because the stock market dropped 5 points immediately, and they believe 5% immediately, and they believe it was because the Democrats said, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Not going to go for the Senate vote because the market clearly wants this thing passed and passed right now just to give them some sense of, okay, you know, this may be going in the right direction.
Well, I think this is the Democrats' play as it was on impeachment. Nancy, we'll just hold it until we get our way. They don't care. Yeah. They don't give a damn about the American people.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.